This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So if you were here last week and then this week, all this appearing and disappearing of Jesus can get a little eerie. Last week, the disciples up in this upper room huddled in fear. They didn't want to be crucified like Jesus had been. Jesus comes right in through the walls. Peace be with you. Disappears just as quickly. And because Thomas wasn't there, remember, then the next week, same thing happens. Jesus appears right through the walls and then disappears. And today, these two are walking down the road. A stranger comes. They don't know it's Jesus, and they hang out for a long time. And then they recognize him, and like that, he's gone. Now you see him, now you don't. We were talking about this last Wednesday night at our small group, and the conversation after we talked about this story started to turn to our own memories of times in our lives when people close to us have died. And especially in just a little while after they've died, many of us have experienced a vision of them or intense dreams of them or an amazing awareness of their presence with us that we cannot explain. I know it's happened to me personally when I had a tragic loss in my own family, and I have heard over and over and over again from people stories like this. I'm sure many of you have experienced just that feeling, that knowing. And if you ever question it about to people who have experienced, nothing you can say can convince them that it didn't happen. Well, imagine how eerie it must have been for the people in Jerusalem to hear over and over again from these followers of Jesus about not only seeing him, not in a vision or in a dream, but actually in the flesh, that they touched him and they were actually having a meal with him, several meals with him. Imagine how they must have felt, how they were just incredulous about what had happened. Well, I had a situation the other day. I was talking to Charlotte, who works here, and it's this same kind of incredulous feeling. And she said that many years ago, when she and my mom were working in the front office, that all of a sudden the smell of smoke came. And neither of them smoked cigarettes, and she said to my mom, "Do you smell that smoke?" And my mom said, "Oh yeah, that's just Jim." And Charlotte said, "What do you mean it's just Jim?" She said, "Yeah, that's how he lets me know that he's alive after death." Charlotte said, "Oh, come on." And so they went outside, they checked outside, they checked in the back hall, they checked in the kitchen, they checked at the end of the AC vents, and not only was there nobody smoking, there was nobody there. And it happened many other times. And now Charlotte, who didn't believe it at all, was actually very cynical about it, now knows not to doubt it. And to the day my mom died, she attested to that same. Now that's just a minuscule little glimpse of what the disciples must have felt when they actually were in the presence of the risen Lord. It's like nothing any of us have ever experienced in the physical presence. Well, the same thing happened in this story today When Cleopas and probably his wife were walking along the road, they were going back. It was kind of still Good Friday to them, even though it was Easter afternoon. They had not seen the risen Lord. They had heard about it, but they didn't see it themselves. They didn't believe it. They were so sad. They're walking along 7 miles back home, and this stranger starts walking with them. They didn't know that it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him for some reason. And in anything that I read and all my research, nobody really knows why they didn't recognize him, but the best scholarly guess is that the resurrected body of Jesus just looked different to them somehow. They didn't recognize him, so they walked and they walked and they stayed with him. And at the end of the day, when Jesus was going to go on and go away from them and go on his way, something within them longed to be with this stranger longer. And they said, "Don't go anywhere, stay with us." And Jesus did. He knew their longing, and they asked for him to be with them. And he responded in kind. He stayed with them. And when they were at the table, he took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to them. And they were just amazed. All of a sudden, they're like, "Oh, this has to be him." And they recognized him in that moment, in that very moment. And as soon as they recognized him, he was gone. He vanished. There he goes again. Now you see him. Now you don't. I think Jesus did this to tell them and to tell us that he was with them even when they couldn't see him. Maybe especially when they couldn't see him. In their deepest, darkest place of grief over what they thought was their shattered dreams of a Messiah, here he is. He comes to them again. He brings them peace. He brings them reassurance. So what does this mean for all of us? How do we possibly recognize Christ in our midst now? What is this story? So what? What does it mean to us? What I would like to suggest is that we take the message of the gospel today and look at it in two phases, and we can apply it to our own life. The first phase is that they abided with Christ. They stayed with him. They stayed with him. They hung out with him. They walked with him. They invited him into their lives, even though they couldn't see him, even though they couldn't recognize him. They invited him in. And whether you feel like you recognize Christ or not, I would invite you, if you'd like to begin to experience that relationship, just to invite Christ to be with you and just see what happens, because it's going to be different for you than it is for me, than it is for everybody. We have a unique opportunity for relationship with Christ. And the other way is that we every week have the same kind of relationship in the breaking of the bread. Every week we come here and you'll walk up and put your hand out if you so desire. You put your hand out and you ask to receive Christ, and then we take the knowledge of Christ into our bodies so that then we can go out into this world with the knowledge of Christ's presence with us. The knowledge of Christ's presence with us. And we believe that at the table, and when we have communion, holy communion with Christ, that he abides at this table in a way unlike anywhere else. And the closest example that I can get for you was one that was explained to me, that if you take a magnifying glass and you go outside in the sunshine and you take a leaf, right? Have you done this maybe as a child when we weren't supposed to do it? And you have the ray of the sunlight onto that leaf, that concentrated light is going to start a fire on this leaf eventually. Yeah? So it's this concentration. It doesn't mean that the sun isn't all around us all the time. It's just this focused energy. And please, we have to not underestimate our intention when we come to the table, even if we're brand new to it. In this church, if you put your hands out, you're going to be fed. You're going to be fed. And it doesn't matter if you understand it here. What matters is that we are taking it into our very being, and hopefully then, when we go out into the world, we share that love and the knowledge of the way Christ is for us. And just by taking care of one another. And that's the other way that Christ is vitally present for us. In the way that we are with one another. In the way that we seek one another. Because you notice in that story, they abided with Christ. But then what did they do once Jesus left? What did they do? They ran back to be with their friends in Jerusalem to share it with them. To be in relationship with other people. The scripture tells us, love thy neighbor as I have loved you. So we commune with Christ, and then we go out in relationship with other people. Authentic relationship, meaning that we look for Christ in one another, and we listen. We don't try to run their lives, but we're there for one another. Helping one another, guiding one another, and being with one another. It's powerful. That is the presence of Christ in our lives as well. When we come to the table, I'm going to say a prayer that I said last week that comes from the Iona community. And it goes like this. This is the table of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have little, you who have been here often, and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow, and you who have failed, come because it is the Lord who invites you. It is the Lord, it is the Lord's will that those who want him should meet him here. Should meet him here. And in closing, I have another reading from the Iona community. These are the words of Pat Bennett. If you want to enter my kingdom, seek the place that I have shown. For in hearts that think of others, God's desire to make a home. When you act in quiet service, this is where God's grace is known. If you want to live in my kingdom, spend yourselves as I have shown. For in hearts without calculation, God is pleased to make a home. When you give your life for others, this is where God's love is known. If you want to build my kingdom, then be one as I have shown. For where hearts in love are united, God delights to make a home. When you breach a wall that separates, this is where God's joy is known. All who want to share in my kingdom, do God's will as I have shown. And my Father's heart will love you. We will make your life our home. As we walk the way together, you will know as you are known.